You're listening to Bandgeek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey. All right. You ready to podcast?
Let's podcast.
This is episode 36. I'm doing the intro as part of the podcast instead of doing a separate thing this time.
Wow. You're changing it up?
I'm mixing it up a little bit.
Oh, mixing. Because it's a music podcast.
Today's just me and Muff. And for episode 36, I'm going to tell Muff about the last couple of weeks that I had because I've been sadly Muffless. Or Jarrettless, if you're listening for the first time.
Yeah, Muffless sounds.
Yeah, this is my co-host, dirtier. Jarrett Pressman, or I call him Muff sometimes because of an incident from when we were children. And I'm Richie Castellano, and this is Band Geek. And I had a very interesting couple of weeks, and I'm going to fill Muff in on them, and I'll fill everybody in at the same time. And I've told you nothing. You know nothing about anything that's happened, right?
No, I do know that you plan to rub some of the weather you've had in our faces.
No, weather's lost on me. I'd rather be cold than home.
Oh, outside it's like Sub-Zero and Elsa are fucking each other. That's what this winter has been
Sub-Zero
like.
Sub-Zero and Elsa.
That's what this winter's been like.
Did you make that joke up?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's an original. Ladies and gentlemen, an original Jarrett Pressman composition.
Leave it to me to make a snow cum joke.
That's disgusting. That sounds like a really gross thing you get from the ice cream man.
Snow cum? The dirty ice cream man. puts his little bowls on the little counter on the ice cream truck.
Already off to a bad start. I'm a little under the weather, and I'll get to that.
That's part of his 2 weeks, yes. 3 weeks.
Is there a witch boiling upstairs?
Yes.
Yeah! Okay, so Anne-Marie has the flu, so she's quarantined. She's not allowed down here today. Okay.
But I touched the doorknob, and then I touched my face. Now I'm sick.
Man, I'm just sitting down. This has been like the first time I've had to like sit down in my studio since this all happened, so I'm trying to like think of where to start. I have a great place to start. If you do any shopping on Amazon, what you want to do is use our Band Geek link, and that helps the podcast. Why don't you take over here?
What you do is, it's just like buying it from Amazon.com with an extra step. You go to...
And why would they want to do the extra step?
Because they like listening to our soothing voices and our music. And when you use the link, you go to riotcast.com/bandgeek. And on the top of the page is an Amazon.com banner. When you click that, it takes you to the regular Amazon landing. However, Richie's making fun of me because I'm making hand motions like a weatherman. It takes you to the top. The top of the page has an Amazon banner. It takes you to the regular Amazon page. But through the magic of computers, puts a little donation towards our show with every purchase you make on Amazon if you follow it that way.
It's like that Office Space virus.
Yes.
It rounds down. What it does, what's actually happening, is small microtransactions are rounding down pennies from your purchase and going into my pocket so I can continue to pay for the monthly server fee that goes to hosting this podcast.
Correct. It's the plot of Superman 3 with Richard Pryor.
Right. Right, okay.
Because after the Kryptonian criminals went away, the only thing they could think of was money laundering.
No.
What can Superman stop next?
No. In my mind, the thought process was, okay, we just did a really great movie with Kryptonian criminals and really tough guys. Ooh, computers. Make it computers. The next guy is computers.
And let's make Richard Pryor the computer guy.
Exactly.
Guilty.
So, I went on, well, not just to do it, but Blue Oyster Cult had 3 gigs planned on the Rock Legends Cruise, which is thrown by an organization called NAHA, N-A-H-A. I don't remember what it stands for.
NAHA!
But they bring these sort of package things, like events, to cruises. So this was a cruise just for rock fans, pretty much. And it's on a beautiful Royal Caribbean boat called the Liberty of the Seas. And actually, the first cruise I ever went to was the first time we did the Rock Legends cruise. And we really liked it. We had a good time because we were able to bring our significant others. So all the wives went, which is kind of nice.
and then all the girlfriends go on a different cruise.
I went and Amory came with me. Andy and Brandy came. Sam, our other tech, he brought his wife Janelle, and all the guys in the band brought their wives or girlfriends. So it was nice idea, nice time, and it's a 4-day cruise. It makes a stop. Last time it was at the island Labadee, which is like near Haiti, but it's actually, I think, a Royal Caribbean owned area.
Royal Caribbean owns the island, because going to an actual island would be dangerous.
So it's like fake Haiti or something. But this time we went to the Bahamas, to Nassau. So what they do is they have a bunch of bands, and it's
such as
well
you'll get into that.
there's a bunch of like famous big name bands. Then there are some like mid level bands. And then some bands you might not have heard of that are like, I guess, local bands or sort of like, you know, pro, but like club date. Club date. I'm like talking like I'm doing a wedding. No, but like, you know, like club and small theater level bands, right? So
it's kind of the way, like, if you would go see a big name band, there might be 2 bands that open.
Right. So,
they're leveled bands.
So what it does is each band usually plays 2 or 3 times throughout the course of this 4-day cruise, and there are various stages. So there's one area called the Platinum Theater, which is like a big, and it's fucking big.
It's like a Broadway style theater, like it's on like, a boat.
It's a big theater. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of it's sort of like the Beacon, because it's got 2 levels. You know what I mean?
Right on.
I'm sure. Does the Beacon have 2 levels?
Yeah.
So, but it's like that's what comes to mind. It's like the Beacon Theater kind of thing. Then they have a place called Studio B, which is also like an ice rink. Yeah, but so that's kind of set up a little bit like a regular club with a big open dance floor.
Okay.
Where people stand, but there's also bleachers in the back. So it's a convert. They cover the ice rink. Well, they do like ice shows there when the rock people aren't.
That's
doing
more
it.
Of like a multi-purpose room.
Right, but it's a club. Think about it like a club.
Sure.
Think of what I would compare it to, but it looks like what it is. It's a small ice rink. It's like, you know, the rectangular style seating and a big dance floor, but the band's playing a pretty decent sized stage. There's the deck stage, which is basically the top of the ship. They build like a tiny freaking stage overlooking the pools and hot tubs and stuff like that. Ooh. And you actually play out on the deck. Then there are a couple other rooms. Like there's the Sphinx Room, which is a very small kind of like comedy club,
okay,
sort of thing. But you don't really play there. We played there the first time because there was a weather issue with us playing on the deck, so we moved our acoustic show to the Sphinx Room. I'll get into that. But
you're jumping all over the place. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give a layout.
Like,
of the boat.
And it sounds like if there's a bunch of bands on there, you're getting a lot for your money and vacation.
If you like rock music,
yeah.
Because the thing is, they close off a lot of the normal activities. Like there's all these, like, there's like all this shit that you could do up top, you know, on the top deck, but they close a lot of it down because, like, there's bands there. You can't have, like, people, you know,
rock climbing,
zip lining through the top of the boat, you know, and smacking the Doobie Brothers in the head. So, you know, it just doesn't happen. But there are three main venues, and the band sort of swap. So every band ideally plays on each stage once. Like some of them, I think the bigger bands, like Alice Cooper was a big band there. Cool. I think he only played twice. But that's how we played three times. And the so the lineup was Alice Cooper, as I mentioned, the Doobie Brothers with the other big band, and Paul Rogers was a big act. We were there. Don Felder, who was formerly of the Eagles, you know, one of the two main Eagles lead guitarists, he has his own band, and they were there.
You guys stayed on the ship the whole time. Does Alice Cooper like come play a show and then they port somewhere and he goes out away?
For example, bands like us, in our sort of level, we were kind of cool with just walking around the boat. And I mean, that's kind of the reason you do this as a fan, is because not only do you get to watch all the music, but you get to sort of rub elbows with people in your favorite bands. So for me, everybody was very nice, and if I'm eating, no one's going to come. Like, people know not to disrupt you, or I'm sort of disturb you while you're doing something private. But if you're just walking around, it was, oh, hey, cool show, and it was nice. It's really chill. Everybody is super nice and low key. But I would imagine if you're Alice Cooper, it's very difficult to walk around the boat.
But he stays on the boat the whole
but you don't see him.
Sure.
He's basically, he'll do like a signing or every band had a photo op. So you go to this little room, that Sphinx room,
sure,
and everybody lines up. You get your picture, bing, bang, bing, bang, boom. So, yes, you did get to meet them, but it's not like the Alice Coopers or Paul Rogers are going to hang around on the boat. They have their own special thing. Now, when you play there, now I know a lot of people who aren't on the cruise might be listening to this. As an artist, they have areas for you to go to. The first time I went there, there were two clubs. One's called the Catacombs, and that's for artists only to hang out. And there was another one... up top by like where the
so you could see like the whole ship.
Yeah, you could oversee the deck. I can't remember what that room was called. The fuck was that called? I don't remember. Anyway, it's like a lounge. Like it looked like a piano lounge. You know what I mean? And the catacombs looked like a wine cellar almost. It was really cool. The first time we went on Rock Legends Cruise 2, and I think that was 2013.
Mm-hmm. This is fairly new.
Yeah, this is the third one they've done. The first time we went, we hung out in that catacombs place and just like partied the whole time. But they were stricter about that this time because supposedly the bands racked up a $70,000 alcohol tab.
Oh my God.
So this time they were a lot stricter. They were like, okay, you can only be in your green room, because these were your green room. There's no dressing rooms on the boat.
Right.
Like, you're allowed to go to these areas, which are bar lounge areas. You can be there a half hour before you play and have to leave a half hour after you play, which kind of sucks because, like, you know, me, I get ready for a gig an hour before and I need to sit somewhere, but you can't. So it was they relaxed it as it went on, but when we got there, it was kind of really militant, and which actually led to some of the stuff I'm going to play you today happening. But anyway, so we had three shows. Other bands that played were Edgar Winter. Now, and I talk about this a lot on the stuff I'm going to play you. I love Edgar Winter's music, but I also really like their guitar player, Doug Rappaport. He's one of my favorite guitar players, so... whenever I see him and whenever we play with them, I stop what I'm doing and I watch him because he's really, like, unbelievable. I'm trying to think of who else played. Marshall Tucker Band, 38 Special. That's right. There were a lot of, like, Southern rock bands.
Is 38 Special considered Southern rock?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're pop, but they're, you know what I mean. Molly Hatchet.
Nice.
And then there were bands... Swamp the Womp, Blue Lords, Southern Brotherhood, CB Radio, just like, and I'm sure I'm leaving some bands out. Forgive me if I left your band out and you're listening to it, but they had this sort of like tight knit Southern thing, and they all know each other, and it's kind of cool. But it's weird because I noticed that there's like two kinds of things. There were the bands that were like, there were the fans that were like, okay, Edgar Winter, Blue Oyster Cult, you know, Paul Rogers, like, that's classic rock. And the other bands are like, no. You know, Marshall Tucker,
Very Special.
Like, they were there for the Southern things. And the fans sort of, like, don't intersect at the shows.
It's different parts of the ship.
Yeah, whatever part of the ship had the Confederate flag.
I was, you know something? I was refraining from making a joke. I was going to say it's the 1950s of rock cruises.
Oh, God.
38 Special has its own water fountains and Marshall Tucker Band.
So I can just tell you the experiences I had, if I can remember it. Because right now it's all a jumble to me. I'm trying to get it down before I forget everything. The first night we played in the big theater, the Platinum Ballroom, and we had like a pretty nice slot, but the Doobie Brothers went before us, and a lot of bands brought like stripped down sets. Like Alice Cooper didn't bring like a guillotine or like all of his props. He had like a stripped down just rock show sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the Doobies, from what I understand, brought everything. So it took them like three times as long as everyone else to pack down. So it made us start very late. So our first night we started like an hour and a half late. So that was kind of a bummer.
Does that really matter at sea? Like,
well, it matters if people, you know, on the first day of the ship when everybody's still on their, you know, work schedules in terms of sleep.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like if you work a 9-to-5 job and it's a Thursday night, you're going to be in bed probably 11, 12. You know what I mean? Right?
Sure.
So when the band you want to see goes on at 12:30, 12:45, yeah, I'll catch them another time. You know what I mean? So that kind of screwed up our first night a little bit. And we had to cut our show seriously short. You know, so it was like an hour set, which kind of sucks. But I'm trying to think if I got to see.
So you guys played three songs.
No, we just didn't like. We didn't do like Last Days of May or an encore.
Sure,
you know what I mean. So, and I mean, I like playing Last Days of May, obviously, because I get a nice little lead break on that. So that was interesting. But whatever, it is what it is. And I thought that Eric made the right call with what songs he cut, because we had to get to the meat. You know what I mean? And cut the set short. I'm trying to think what bands I saw that night. I don't think I saw any bands. I think it was just too hectic.
Because you just got on the boat and then it was like, go, sound yeah. check,
also,
put your
the
stuff
boat,
in your room.
The boat, it was cold out and the boat was rocking really hard.
Of course it was. It's a rock cruise.
You know, no pun intended. It was, and like, I was like really dizzy and couldn't get out of the bed. That's how I felt that first night.
Which is so weird on like a cruise ship.
That
can feel the fucking chop of the of the water.
I think this is just not going to be chronological because there's no way at this point that I can remember what day what happened. The second day, we played at the smaller studio, but like in the afternoon, like 4 o'clock, and
the early bird set.
No, wait, I'm sorry, I'm messing this up. We played out on the deck. Right, and then while I was up on the deck, like when you play on the deck, the dressing room is that upper lounge thing where you could see the whole deck.
Sure.
And while we were there, I got to meet Don Felder.
Cool.
Don Felder is one of my favorite guitar players. You know, big influence on me. I love the Eagles. You know, I love Joe Walsh and I love Don Felder. I learned both parts when I learned an Eagles song.
Is Don Felder also insane?
What?
I don't know. I feel like every story about Joe Walsh is he's insane.
He was really nice, because I remember we played, and the show on the deck went really well. I thought we had some problems with Don's guitar rig. Not Don Felder, Don Roser, our guitar player. But aside from that, it was a solid show. But then I get off the stage, and I see this guitar. You know what a guitar boat is?
A guitar boat?
Yeah, that's a guitar boat. Like one of those rolling stands that they could put, like, 10 guitars on or so.
Gotcha.
So, now, most of us, when we go there, you bring a couple of guitars with you because it's, you know, it's not your regular rig. But Don Felder's guitar boat had like 10 of the nicest guitars I've ever seen. Let's see if I can recount what he had with him. He had the white Gibson Hotel California double neck.
Cool.
He had a Les Paul that looked gorgeous. He had an Eric Clapton Strat. He had another Strat that was like gold. I can't remember what kind of Strat that was. He had,
When Richie's trying to remember this thing, he keeps closing his eyes as if he's trying to picture
it. I'm looking at it in my head. He had an acoustic, I think it was a Taylor. It was beautiful. But the thing that blew my mind is he had a Music Man, because that's the first thing I was drawn to. He had a Music Man Steve Lukather model. So, I saw that and I'm like, oh shit, these are Felder's guitars. That's awesome that he brought all this stuff with him. So while I was up in that lounge, I said, you know, hi Don, I'm Richie Castellano. I play with Blue Oyster Cult. I'm a huge fan of yours. It's such a pleasure to meet you. He was totally cool. It's like, I noticed you have a Music Man guitar there. He goes, oh yeah, Steve Lukather gave me that. I was like, oh yeah, you know, a Music Man gave me mine after I gave them $1,600.
Money.
But he told me a really cool story that I'm going to tell you.
Yay.
He said that they were doing, when he was with the Eagles doing the Hell Freezes Over tour, they were, during that tour, they did some of their respective solo tunes. So they did Don Henley's song, Dirty Laundry. And there's a really wacky solo in that song that was originally played by Steve Lukather. So Don Felder was tasked with playing that solo in the Eagles. So he said he learned it note for note because he knew that Steve Lukather was probably going to show up at their first L.A. area show.
Right.
So he, of course, Steve Lukather did show up. He played the solo note for note. And after the show, Steve Lukather told Don Felder, I'm totally flattered that you learned my solo note for note. You know what? I'm going to send you something. And he sent him this beautiful Luke model guitar, and it had a Floyd Rose on it. So that's how I knew it was special. But I thought that was a really cool story that, you know, oh yeah, Luke gave me this. How cool is
it's
that?
It's a Luke Lukather.
It was pretty cool. So that was that night. And I got to see Felder's band for a little bit. I saw them twice, actually. And he had a really great band, and he had a really cool second guitar player, this guy Greg Saran, who was like just nailing all the Joe Walsh parts, because basically Felder did Eagles songs.
Right.
You know what I mean? He did a couple of songs that he wrote, but it was mainly big Eagles hits.
And Greg Saran was wrapped in plastic most of the cruise?
No.
No? All right.
Then we went to
is it like a space thing? Why wouldn't you guys be able to like watch every show that you wanted to?
You can.
Okay.
No, but the thing we couldn't do was just hang out in the VIP area.
Because
we drank too much last time.
So if you wanted to watch, let's say, you know, Don Felder's,
if you're an artist with your badge, you can go in ahead of the general public and you can sit wherever you want and get a seat first.
I feel you.
Right. You know, so you can, but the cool thing about that is anybody can go to any show. The only shows that were really tough to get to were the Alice Cooper shows. They were fucking mobbed. Like when Alice Cooper played in the big theater, you couldn't, like, we tried to like walk in after they were playing for like 20 minutes
and like stand in the back.
There was no, you couldn't see anything. There was nowhere to go. It was just ridiculous. But I saw, I'll tell you the bands that I saw when I was there, because I did walk around quite a bit.
That's so weird though that you would like, you'd pay money, you'd be like, we're going on vacation, we're going for 4 days, we're going to Rock Legends Cruise, here's all the bands that are going to play, and there's a possibility you might not see the band you want to see?
No, you can, but you got to get up, but look, for example, Alice Cooper played twice. He played in the big theater, and if you got there too late, you weren't going to see it. I mean, you could be in the room,
right?
And listen, there's no like assigned seats, no one's going to kick you out, but if you don't have a good seat, or if you're short like me and Amory, you're not going to see anything. But the second time he played was on the deck. So we went way up on the deck, and we were able to see the whole show. And we found, like, a lounge chair somewhere. We sat down. I mean, we had, like, kind of like an obstructed view, because anybody who was a real hardcore Alice Cooper fan got there early enough to get a good seat,
right,
or a good space in the hot tub. Because you could, there were people who were literally sitting in the hot tub all day just watching bands, which, if you like that, is pretty fucking awesome.
That's pretty rad, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, the thing is, because I do this for a living, I'm like, man, why would anybody want to do this? But I'm like, well, I don't want to do this because I do this every day. So, but I was trying to think of like an analogy. I was like, okay, if this was like a Star Trek convention on a boat, all right, I get it. I was like, you know, I get to just do Star Trek shit all day long, and
that'd be so cool.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that like Amory kept saying, like, this should be a Deep Space Nine cruise, and that should be the promenade, like the promenade on Deep Space Nine. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
God, that would make so much. Why hasn't anybody done that yet?
Disney's doing it.
Are they?
Disney's doing a Star Wars cruise.
It
doesn't lend itself,
yeah,
to like naval shit as much as Star Trek does. I know.
That's still kind of cool though.
I saw Alice Cooper on the deck. Alice Cooper was awesome. Even without like all the gimmicks, great band. Awesome, tight show. You know what I mean? Really cool. I don't. I saw the Doobie Brothers out on the deck. They sounded awesome. I saw Felder. I saw Edgar Winter. Oh my God. And someone.
Inside, right?
I saw them inside.
Edgar Winter's not allowed to be outside in the sun.
I don't know about
on the
that.
Deck.
Maybe not.
What's that mirror walking around playing guitar?
Nice. I'm such a huge fan of Edgar Winter's band, and Edgar Winter, obviously. You know, Muff, I've been a huge fan of Edgar Winter my whole life.
I was going to mention that. Like, we had to have been like 12 or 13, like, playing Freeride, and I don't remember why, but I guess...
But, you know, Freeride wasn't even what I liked. The White Trash album was the one that my dad used to listen to, did a cassette of it, and we used to listen to that in the car all the time, and that's what got me into Edgar Winter.
Does that have Way Down South on it?
It's got Keep Playing That Rock and Roll.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's got a few other ones, too. But great ones. I'm trying to remember. Whatever. But anyway, so someone's on YouTube has a video of the Edgar Winter Band from over my shoulder.
Really? That's great.
Well, because I was having a fit while I was watching them. Because I was, like, flipping out to how good Doug is. And also Coco Powell. And the drummer, whose name is escaping me right now, but he's also incredible. And obviously, Edgar kicks ass, too.
Yeah.
But that was my favorite band on the whole boat. Just because those three guys, they have their own band that plays all the time in L.A., and then they also happen to be Edgar's backup band.
Huh.
But you can tell that these guys have, like, a shorthand. You know, like, they're three guys who do this all the time. They're just monsters. They are monsters. It's ridiculous.
And they're monsters that are super in sync with each other.
Oh, yeah. And then after the show, I got to go back to the catacombs, the VIP area, to go hang with them. And their sound guy said, "Are you the guy that was yelling behind me the whole time?" I was like, "Yeah, sorry. That was me." He goes, "Every time Doug would do something cool, you were like, 'What the fuck? What the fuck?'" And I said, "Yes, I was saying 'what the fuck' quite a lot." But, you know, it's kind of – it's funny to, like – I was trying to be cool, hang with those guys, and then the sound guy totally outed me about, like, fanboy I was.
He turned into Johnny Hendrickson. What the fuck?
What the fuck? Other bands I saw. Oh, I saw Uriah Heep. I love Uriah Heep. I have a special place in my heart for Uriah Heep because my first big my first time to Europe was when Blue Oyster Cult opened for Uriah Heep on a 13-day German tour. I was still doing sound in the band. So I love that. I'm trying to think who else I saw. I didn't get to see a lot because I was working most of the time playing. I saw Paul Rodgers. Paul Rodgers went down to a four-piece with only one guitar player, but the guitar player is Howard Lees from Heart.
Oh, cool.
Mr. Barracuda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I thought that he probably should have had another guitar player because it sounded a little empty whenever Howard would play a solo. You know what I mean? Like the... Yeah.
It felt empty.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like it had much heart. I'm going to high-five myself later.
I saw some other bands. Like I saw Savoy Brown. I saw... I'm trying to think.
And did anything interesting happen to you on the boat, like, not show-related?
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to get to that, but I'm trying to, like, recount all this, the stuff I saw. The one thing I noticed a lot of the bands were doing, a lot of them had, like, tracks, like, backing tracks. So,
what are you talking about? Live musicians don't use backing tracks.
No, but, like, you'd be seeing a band. I'm not going to call out bands in particular, but, like, you'll watch them, like, where's that, like, bongo part coming from? Where are those hand claps coming from?
Where's that cowbell?
That we have a guy.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So yeah, I really liked, but you know, I really liked the Doobie Brothers. I really liked Edgar Winter. I mean, I really liked Paul Rodgers. I really liked Alice Cooper. But I loved Edgar Winter. That was my favorite band on the whole boat. We also played an acoustic show. Now, Rock Legends 2, which was in 2013, we played that. We were scheduled to play on the deck. And high winds happened, and it wasn't safe to be up there, so they canceled that show. So Eric said, "Hey, you know, we've been playing acoustic gigs lately, because that's when we had the anniversary concert, and that's when we were doing all those interesting things a couple years back."
Right.
So we volunteered that, and we played in the Sphinx Room, that little like comedy club-like room, and we did an acoustic set, and it was all the rage, and everybody went crazy. You know what I mean? So this time they said, "Oh, if you come back, you got to do that acoustic thing." Well, great, because now we had to learn all those fucking songs again, and we had to like practice a thing we haven't done in 2 years. So we were all sweating it really hard. I was writing like, you know, I basically turned to Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation. I was like sending out emails with like, you know, notes that I was writing. Hey, in this song, you should do this and you should do this. And I was like,
big binders with labels. And
I had my iPad. Basically, I don't need a binder because I had like all these charts that I wrote out. I went like nuts. But
did you bring your new fancy acoustic with you?
No, because I didn't want to get it fucked up. They rented us acoustics. And actually, they rented me a really nice one. I got a Taylor 714, I think. It was beautiful. So we did that. But we were like really stressing. We actually rehearsed on the boat. We had a rehearsal the day before early in like a conference room. And we rehearsed for the show. So we did that. And I don't know. I like being loud and obnoxious. So I'm like, my first instinct is never to go acoustic. But there were BOC fans telling me, they were telling me the only reason they came on the cruise was to see us play acoustic, which blew my mind.
There's something about like hearing a song, like a song with heavy, you know, guitars or heavy bass or heavy drums and stuff like that, like hearing an acoustic or hearing it like on a piano, like it adds this weird level like of enjoyment to it sometimes.
I never got that. I mean, but I understand like from you saying it and from fans telling me that, that's a big deal. But for me, it's like, oh, great. Let me take my favorite rock song and make it not rock. I mean, look, that's, I don't know. I'm biased towards acoustic music. I'm starting to get into it now that I bought that new Martin guitar. Because that Martin guitar is making me like acoustic.
You know what it is, I think? And this is coming from, like, a fake musician like me. It's like, you know, sometimes, like, if you have a good song, like, a good melody, like, can be enhanced in different ways. So, like, if you have, like, a good rock song or a good, you know, upbeat song or a ballad or something like that, when you play it, like, in a different, like, format, like, you know, on piano or, you know, acoustic guitar, like, sometimes you hear things in the music that you didn't hear before. So, like, you'll hear, like, a rhythm line being played on an acoustic, and you're like, oh, my God, that's so pretty. Or, like, and you never heard it before because all you were hearing was, like, wah, 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 wah,
wah, wah.
Yeah, right. You know? I don't know.
You're right. You're right. And also, if you're a completionist fan, and like a lot of Blue Oyster Cult fans are, like, oh, I've seen everything. I've been to, like, hundreds of concerts. That's something you'd want to go see. That makes it worth the trip. So for me, I'm like, wow, this is like a weird thing for us to be doing, but people loved it. It really went over well. And we didn't suck too bad. No, we didn't suck. It was good. We were just nervous about it because it's not like we do our rock show every week.
Right.
And we got that down. This is something we don't do every week. So we were all kind of hardcore stressing it. For me, the challenge with the acoustic show was translating synth and organ parts to piano. Now, yes, the keys are the same on synth and organ, but there's no sustain. So, like, we're on, like, organ, I might go, right. When you play that same part on a piano, it goes, so
you have to do like a kind
of, yeah, or you have to, you know, so I had to change all of my synth or organ parts to be piano parts. So and my notes are ridiculous that I wrote. Like one note says, pretend that you're in Santana. The other note says, pretend you're Jules Howlin from Squeeze. The other one is, pretend you're the theme song from Blossom.
Oh no, what about our future? Or is there anybody, is that the same guy who sings the Mr. Belvedere theme? Streets down to China. Don't know about our future.
It's the second band geek in a row we're mentioning Mr. Belvedere. Just saying.
It's a good melody, man.
So yeah, the acoustic show went off without any major catastrophes, and it was cool, and we got to do some interesting songs. We did forget to do a couple songs, or we ran out of time. Like, one song we had planned to do was Death Valley Nights, which is a song that Kasim sings with us. Mm-hmm. And we rehearsed that and forgot to play it. And the other song that we rehearsed but never got to play was one called Gil Blanco County, which is a really old Blue Oyster Cult song. And I actually like playing that song. I'm just kind of bummed we didn't get to play it. But you can't, you know, time limit is the time limit. Later that night, Marshall Tucker Band has a late night jam. Now, I don't love jams just because I've hosted my fair share of open mics and open jams and I'm burned out on them. But, and I was considering not going, but my dad's voice in my head was like, you better fucking go to that jam. So I went, but I went, I did the jam the first time I went and they, I went, well, let me fill you in the story the first time I went on Rock Legends 2. I went to the jam and I was walking around the boat and a fan grabbed me. He goes, hey, I really like the way you play guitar. And I said, wow, thank you. That's really cool. He goes, why don't you go play with Marshall Tucker? I'm like, what? He goes, no. He goes, he does a jam that anybody can go to. I was like, all right. What do you do? He goes, just go there. Now, I've never met anybody in the Marshall Tucker Band. I don't know anybody. So I went there with my guitar, and I went there. It was supposed to start at midnight. I went there at 11:30, and it was nobody there. So I sat there for an hour until people started showing up. And, of course, the jam goes on, like, incredibly behind schedule.
Sure.
So the Marshall Tucker guys, like, funnel in, and there's this guy, Doug Gray, who is, like, the leader of Marshall Tucker Band. Just a really nice dude. You know what I mean? Like, just a cool dude. Long gray hair, glasses, you know, older dude.
Southern gentleman.
Exactly. And I go up to him. I said, hi, I'm Richie. I play with Blue Oyster Cult. Someone told me I should come down and jam. Oh, yeah, welcome. He goes, which songs of ours do you know? Because I'm thinking they're going to do, okay, here we go. Johnny Be Good, let's go. Crossroads, here we go. You know, but no, they just do their songs. Right. And because all these, like I told you, like the Southern rock bands are kind of clicky.
Which is odd for a jam.
No, but no, I told you all the Southern rock bands are kind of clicky.
Right.
Well, they all know Marshall Tucker songs. Because that's like standard repertoire. You know what I mean? That's like if me and my friends got together and we said, okay, we're only doing Van Halen songs. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, we all know these same songs. Or AC/DC songs. Or whatever it is.
Whatever
you know what I mean? But because that's like part of the standard repertoire for like Southern rock, they all know them. So he asks me, you know, which of our songs do you know? I said, I don't know any of your songs. I said, but I have really good ears and I can pick up stuff pretty fast. And he goes, oh, you sure? I'm like, I promise you I won't screw you up, right? And he goes, all right. So basically, like, people there, they usually go there and they hang out for a while and they drink a few beers and they'll go up towards the middle of the set. Well, when they started calling people up, I said, oh, I'll break the ice. I'll go up. And they said, we're doing Take the Highway. And I said, they said, do you know it? I said, sure, I'll be fine.
Of course.
And they started playing. And I just, you know, jumped in. Like, this is something I do. This is not magic. This is just something, if you're a musician and you practice a lot and you have good ears, you could do this. And I played it, and we had a blast. And it's on YouTube. And maybe I'll post it. But this is, I don't want to post it in this episode because it's from 2 years ago. I want to just do stuff from this year. And basically, the other two guitar players in the band, Rick Willis and Chris Gaines, I think his name is. I apologize if I'm messing that up. They, like, sort of gave me some little musical hints.
Which is that shorthand you were kind of referring to earlier.
Like, they'll play, like, a lick, and they'll give me, like, an indication, like, we're going to play this again. So, for me never having played the song before, we're doing this, like, crazy call-and-response stuff and three-part harmonies with guitars. It was pretty awesome.
That's rad.
And people went crazy, and after that, I'm officially best friends with Marshall Tucker now. So,
you said you didn't know any of our songs!
Yeah.
they all sound like Boomhauer.
This, hi, man. So this year when I went to the jam, they're like, oh, it's Richie. Let's make sure we get Richie up here. You know what I mean? So it was cool. And they brought me up on a blues this time. So I go up there and they're like, Richie, go up and play. I'm like, okay. Now last time they gave me a Fender DeVille. Fender DeVille is like a very standard amplifier. It has nice clean sound, decent distortion sound. So you can play chords on it. You can play a lead on it, right? This year, the only amp they had for me was a Fender Twin. A Fender Twin is pretty much an amp you have to have pedals with because it's just clean, right? We had no pedals. They threw me up to the wolves, and they gave me a cable. And they say, go. And they say, play a solo. And I get there, and they're like, Richie, it's Richie again. Woohoo! And they go, play a solo. They point to me. I'm like, oh, fuck. I have a twin reverb. I have to play like an awesome solo right now. And I have no distortion. So I basically punished this twin reverb. I turned it up as loud as it can go, and I just played the guitar as hard as I could make it. And that's how I got through the Marshall Tucker jam.
And that's how Richie never got invited back to the Marshall Tucker jam.
No, it was good. It worked out. It sounded good. No, my tech Sam was there, and I said, Sam, tell me, was it like horrible that I didn't have any gain? He goes, no, you made it work. I was like, okay. Because, you know, I wasn't – when you don't – the thing is, all right, you don't know hardly – you know hardly anything about guitar. When you have all that like fuzz or distortion, it's very easy to play fast passages because –
because the distortion is masking everything.
It's not only masking it, it's giving every note more sustain.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
it can mask it, but there are guys who play very clean with distortion. I try to play as clean as I can with distortion. But the distortion gives all your notes more length, and you can play lighter. So when I don't have it, and since I didn't, I said, okay, I'm playing strict blues here. I'm not going to try to do anything fancy, because if I try to do something fancy, it's going to sound like this. And I didn't want that. I'm going to look to see if someone posted it. Hold on. Tell a joke or something while I look this up.
I already blew my load on that joke earlier. We'd like to take this time to remind you to visit the Amazon link at the top of the riotcast.com/bandgeek page. Also check out some other Riotcast shows, such as The Hole, and You Know What, Dude, and The Jim Florentine Show.
That was great.
You only know three or four shows on our network. All right, they haven't posted. I mean, last year someone posted it, but it took a few weeks.
But anyway, we did like a blues, and Donald played a solo, and I played a solo. It was cool. It was a lot of fun. But there were some interesting things that happened because we couldn't hang out at the catacombs. So we were sort of walking around the promenade, which is where all the shops are and all the restaurants, and we sat down to have ice cream at Ben & Jerry's. And we sat there for like an hour and a half. I said, this is ridiculous. We're sitting on an ice cream bench because we can't go to the VIP area. And our rooms aren't big enough to hang out in. And there's no place to go because we want to talk. We don't want to go see a show. And it's too cold to go out on the deck and sit down.
You're just describing a fat old person on a cruise. I'm sitting at the ice cream store and my room is too small. And it's too cold outside.
So we basically, each level, each deck had this like little hallway area between the two sides of the ship, and there were like little seats there, and no one was there. So I said, let's just go there and sit and talk. So we went there. It's basically being in a hallway at a hotel, and when there were these like pretty oak, like comfy chairs there, we sat there, we turned the chairs around, and we just shot the shit. And I think Amory or Andy said, basically it was me, Amory, Andy, Brandy, and Woody, Steve Lucera, our tour manager, who's been on the show before. And they said, why don't you just grab your Zoom? I had that like portable Zoom recorder. Mm-hmm. So why don't you grab that and just start recording and see what happens. So this is what happened, and I'm going to play it for you right now.
The fucking boat. Liberty of the sea.
Are you drunk?
And I think I'm tired.
They don't let us. Last time we played here, that we had this like cool, like hang area that we can go to, but this time that's not the case. So we're literally, what do you call this area? We're in a fucking hallway. That's where we are. And I found nice chairs because I didn't want to sit at the Ben and Jerry's for 4 hours. So now I got a nice chair here, and we're sitting here and we're talking about things. We got nice. We're people watching, waiting to see Edgar Winter, because my friend Doug Rappaport plays for Edgar Winter, and he's an unbelievable guitar player, and I want to go and see if I can steal any licks, because I'm in need of a refill. Yeah, I might just turn the TV channel on to the Edgar Winter program. Ah, and I see a guitar coming this way. Wow, what is that?
I built three.
What is your name, sir?
John Johnston.
John Johnston. John has made this guitar that looks like a Gretsch pickup, right?
Yes.
Okay, and it's a single volume knob. And did you carve this?
Yes.
Are you a woodworker?
Yes.
What, is that what you do for a living?
Well, I'm a retired school teacher.
Ah, did you teach shop?
No, I taught fifth grade math.
This is not making an interesting story. No, I'm kidding. So, okay, is this functional? This looks like...
I took the strings off, so I didn't...
Oh, right,
bumped
right.
Bumped into somebody, I didn't cut them.
Now, did you make this whole thing? Did you cut the...
The neck and the all the design.
So you have, like, a template to do the frets with, the fret spacing?
Yes.
Wow, and you... Wow, this is pretty cool. So, you know, I should describe this. Okay, this is a white Telecaster-style guitar, right?
Right.
And it's got a single neck pickup that I said looks like sort of a Gretsch pickup. And he has carved, right?
Yeah.
Into the fretboard, Rock Legends Cruise 3. And he did the logo. And he also did it on the body. It's a white body. And he has a circular, the actual logo of the cruise with the boat. And I'm going to sign this. Who do you have here so far?
I got all of the Doobie Brothers, an all time.
Where's Michael McDonald?
Okay. I gotta stop in Mississippi and get him.
Just forcing your signature on this guy.
One of my all-time favorites, Kim Simmons.
Nice.
That's, you know, real nice touch. For, I mean, I saw him.
He made this. How much you want for it?
Well, there's two up for auction through the cruise.
Really?
I donated two.
Wow.
Nice job.
So... You know, someone really wants one, all they got to do is bid on it.
Where do you want me to sign it?
If you
or
would.
Or you just shown it to me?
No.
No. He wants you to make it.
No, I don't do that. I mean, I've listened to you every Monday right after Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's what we record at the Walker, Texas Ranger. Oh. No shit. Guy. Andy knows every episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. You do. You love that show.
Oh. Quality program.
Let me sign this for you.
I would do. I've been holding that. That's a sure. Real special plate.
Sure, sure.
So.
Look natural. Like you're signing. Look like you're signing.
You look like you're having a problem with you.
God. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, pose with it.
Yeah, take
a picture. We. I'm reaching for my. Yeah, this goes with that, right?
Super.
Unbelievable. Very cool, man. Thanks for showing me that.
Yeah. Love the chipmunk. Episode. That is my all-time favorite because you think that, you know, it's a fun song and it's real easy.
No, it's not easy.
No.
There was a big fight in the house over that song.
Oh.
I edited that out.
Oh.
I might edit this out because I don't want Muff to hear that he liked it.
Oh.
Everyone loved that episode.
God damn you, Richie Castellano.
But Anne-Marie.
Yes.
Love it. You know, I got home from shopping. I got the milk. I love it. I just, you know.
Thanks for listening.
I love the technical stuff. I can't do it, but, you know.
Well, you play, right?
I very badly. You know.
Like every guest on Band Geek says the same thing.
But I took lessons for 5 years after I retired.
Okay.
So, I mean, it helped me be, you know, setups, things of that nature.
Right.
But, you know, I have a full shop, all the tools, and building furniture's tough because it's heavy. So I stopped. You know, this
CNC machine's a serious piece of gear to have in your house. Well, it was very nice meeting you. Thanks for bringing this by. That's awesome.
Keep those podcasts coming because when you skip one, I keep looking.
Oh, no.
I'm hitting some tough subjects here.
Sorry. That's all me. It's all my fault.
Well, you know,
that's
like,
true.
How can you have one ready for this Monday?
We did one last week, and I edited it, and I finished it a little too late, and then Jarrett, the other guy, he uploads them. So, so I, you know, I have two other. I do this, and I do a couple other things. Yeah. So it's like I'm editing it whenever I can, and then sometimes if I get it late, if I get it done a little too late, I'll be like, eh, let's wait till next week. So it's my fault. Sorry.
Well, don't push the blame on me.
I understand.
This is my fault.
It's just, you know, you don't. I don't want to see Katy Perry on there another week.
Oh, he just lost my vote. Oh, he was my favorite fan just until right that point.
You might want to turn that off.
Message message received.
Okay.
Hey, have a good night.
Will do. Appreciate it.
That's so awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. We have one confirmed Band Geek fan. There is one confirmed. I have a reason to continue the podcast now. There's one person that I can't skip anymore. Son of a bitch. Oh, man. Hey, how's it going? Hey, nice show. All right, I'm going to pause it there for a second.
What's that? His name? John?
John Johnston. John? So there it is, our confirmed Band Geek fan. So, John, thank you for being on the show. That was kind of cool. But you got to understand something. We were just sitting there, and he came up. And he brought a guitar for me, and I thought it was just, oh, he saw me play tonight. No, we're Facebook friends, and he's been listening to the podcast. So, John, I hope you liked hearing yourself on Band Geek. That's pretty cool.
As a Band Geek fan, I'm pretty sure he didn't see you. He just heard Brandy laughing from across the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what drew him over to, to the little group you had there.
Well, we were sort of like holding court there, but we didn't invite anybody. So, but he just sort of came over. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Come, show me your instrument, sir.
But the other cool thing is, right after John left, oh, John, your favorite thing's happening. Anne-Marie's just walking down the stairs. Say hi, Anne-Marie. Right after he left, the guy Greg Saran, Don Felder's guitar player, walked right up to us. Like, the moment the first guy left. So I'm going to pick this up from there.
So John started a trend.
He did. Hey. How's it going? Hey, nice show today.
Thanks, yeah. You know, a few technical difficulties.
Oh, what, did you get started late or something?
It wasn't so much that. I had my TalkBox pedal.
Oh.
It's a funny thing. Like, you turn it on, it works, and then you turn it off, and it sometimes mutes yourself.
Do you have the one that goes through the amp
MSR?
Oh, well, so it's the one that's...
Just a standalone, it's like a pedal.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, that, like, for the opening, it just shut me off.
Now, who is this that you're talking to? Like,
what song? What songs do you use that for?
Those Shoes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
Oh, you sounded great, man. I love your playing.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
What kind of telly is that you're playing?
It's a Nash.
Oh, it's a Nash.
Yeah.
Well, I really want one of those. The neck is too manly for me.
It's a thick neck.
Yeah.
It's
manly.
A little bit too much for me, too. I've kind of gotten used to it, but yeah.
Our friend Danny plays a bunch of Nash basses, and he has to get them shaved sometimes.
Yeah, they're a little too thick, you know.
A lot of people like, you know, I bought my first Telecaster. I bought a Road Worn.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of nice. I mean, it wasn't too expensive, which was really nice.
Yeah.
But that's got sort of a beefy neck, but it's a little manageable, I think.
Right.
So, but yeah, I really enjoyed you guys.
Thanks.
Great.
Yeah, we hadn't played a show in a couple of weeks, so it was kind of like throw and go, and you know, like everybody.
How many?
A lot of acting around.
How many gigs do you usually do a year?
With Don, I play with a few different bands, but with Don, we probably do like 50 or 60, maybe.
That's
pretty good. I play with the B-52s too.
Maybe. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We do about 40 or 50 also. So between the two of them, I'm...
What's your name again?
Greg Saran.
Richie Castellano.
Richie. Nice to meet you.
That's my wife, Anne-Marie.
Hi, Anne-Marie. How you doing? It's Greg. Nice to meet you.
That's Andy.
Andy, how are you?
Randy.
Hi, Brandy. How you doing?
And this is our tour manager, Woody.
Woody, how are you?
Steve Lacerra.
Pleasure. Yeah, you guys sounded great.
Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we had our technical difficulties also. I don't know if you caught that.
We had
for a couple minutes we had no guitar, no lead guitar.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Awesome show, man.
Thanks. But
I just wanted more stage time to fix it.
It's true, you had more stage time.
Andy wanted more people to see his crack.
That's what it's about.
That's important. You know, give the people what they want.
That's what they want.
Yeah. Are you guys going to check any shows out, or are you just going to hang here?
I got tired of sitting with Ben and Jerry, so yeah. I figured I'll stay here and wait for Ed Winter to start. So.
Oh, that's where's that going on?
Right there.
Hey. In that Sphinx room?
No,
two levels down.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
The platinum.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, we're going to get on.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I love Doug Rappaport.
Yeah,
he's great.
Oh, you doing a show?
What?
Are you doing a show?
I have it recording, and things have been happening, so I'm not stopping it.
What are you doing?
It was like we wanted to go back to that place that what do they call it?
The catacombs,
and they kicked us out.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So I was like, we just
can't be there. Hey, you
there's
kids.
No place to sit.
So now we're
hey,
here.
You kids, get
so
out
is
here.
The catacombs? Is it cool? What's
the?
It is.
It was cool.
Okay, it's how they kicked you out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time we just kind of like hung there the whole time, and it's like a cool vibe in there, and you just.
It's a bar? What is it?
Yeah, it's like they rope it off for like the artists and their people like a half hour.
Who's playing now?
Okay, yeah, we're doing the one upstairs.
They also kick us out of there. They get kicked out of everywhere.
It's like half hour.
Well, we just did.
Half hour's up.
We had like the number one Band Geek fan come over here, and,
really?
And he's signed his guitar. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is Kasim, by the way.
Well, not number one, the one. We had the one fan.
Yeah, but you gotta give it up for that.
Yeah, that guy's great. I do a podcast, and we're just shooting
shit. Actually, you are doing
I guess right now I'm doing one, but...
Maybe sometime if Greg and Don are in New York...
That's right.
You can invite them down for...
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me give you nothing, because I have nothing on me.
Why don't you ask us some real questions, like a podcast?
Why don't you ask us a podcast?
Well, because he's just chilling. You know, I'm not going to bother him.
That's a nice device. It's like a tricorder from Star Trek.
Are you totally
well done, Mr. Saran?
Okay,
you're
brand
in.
Entry to the Ben Geek podcast.
We talked about Star Trek for a good like hours.
I'm a serious Trekkie. Like, and our bass player Shem is
okay. Wait,
actually, Shem has made movies. He's made
you have
about,
to tell him about Artemis.
Yeah, about the Doomsday Machine. You know that episode. So Shem on YouTube has a short film. It's a documentary on that episode. He interviews former cast members. Like, we're serious
Decker.
About Star Trek. Yeah, Decker,
oh, yeah.
Commander Decker.
Oh, so you're an original series.
Oh, absolutely. Event. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the next.
I.
It's got a mole that could swallow a starship.
Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, you know
it.
Yeah.
I'm a Picard guy.
Picard's great. I love Picard.
Okay.
He was great in
your
Excalibur.
Equal opportunity.
Oh, hey, man, you guys want a jam?
Come on, let's jam. I know some boys to come.
I don't remember who that was when that happened. Some random passerby.
Dirty Boys, they're called songs. And that's it.
That's it?
If it's not one of those 30 songs, forget it. No,
you're having to know every song in the whole world.
That's a joke. That's the joke.
I didn't use to.
But only the Joe Walsh parts.
Well, I used to play with Joe also.
Get out. You're
Don.
Double dipping?
Yeah, and so I was... Well, we don't call it that. But so I was playing Don's parts when I was playing with Joe, and then...
So you just know all the parts?
At this point, yeah. Wow. I didn't. It's, to be honest, I was not even an Eagles fan prior. I mean, I didn't hate him. I wasn't crazy about
him. Where are you located? Where do you live?
I'm in L.A. now, but I'm from Chicago.
Oh, cool. We can go get those cookies now.
In 5 minutes, Richie. 5 minutes. We went on like 40 minutes late last night.
Yeah, we were so
late. Oh, that's nothing compared to some of the bands. Like, 38 Special was like 2.5 hours late. Oh, yeah. They're supposed to be on at 10 upstairs, and they went on at 12:30.
Right, they moved them.
They moved them, and they ended up going on at 12:30. And, like, I was with this girl who was like, I want to see 38 Special. I'm like, you know, I want to check that out, too. We went in, and, like, I had my pass, and like, oh, no, we'll escort you right in. And we get in, and it's, like, literally, like, line check. And we're the only ones in there, and I'm kind of like, let's get the fuck out of here. This is stupid. She's like, no, we got to stay. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I sat through 45 minutes to an hour of line check.
Wow.
And I'm just like, man, this is fucked up. But finally they went on, and it was cool. It was fun. A lot of hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And okay, this is kind of great. So, you know, I love stupid 80s sex comedies. That's like Spring Break, Hard Bodies, you know, that whole genre.
Yeah.
Hot Dog the movie, you know, like that's my shit. Like, I fucking love that stuff. I can tell you anything you want to know about any of those.
Got to hang out with this
but,
guy.
So, I'm watching Revenge of the Nerds 2.
All right.
Nerds in Paradise. And I hadn't seen it in a while. And like the opening theme, I'm like, I'm kind of like, wow, this must be like, you know, a studio singer and, you know, some jackass right? wrote this song. It's fucking 30. Or, like, I didn't know. Right?
Did they play that song?
They played it. I'm like, fucking listen. I'm like, wait a minute. This is Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise.
This is my favorite fucking
like,
band.
Oh my God, it's 38 Special. Please, that fucking song. It's Paradise. Uh-huh. Paradise.
Oh my God, he's right.
Take him back to Paradise. Like, fucking, I'm like, Nerds! 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 It's great, man. Yeah, that was a treat. It was a treat. And then, of course, you know, Caught Up in You. Uh-huh. Is from the movie Spring Break. There's a montage of him trying to find the hotel room key to, like, he's got the chick in the hotel room. He goes to get some cokes, forgot what room he's in, and he can't figure it out, and he's like, he can't get laid to save his life. It's that song playing, you know. So for me, this is like great. This is like a renaissance for me, you know. 80s sex comedies, you know. It's all represented here. Yeah, it's rad. Yeah, it's cool. Ah, what a life.
So that's the kind of stuff that happened on the boat. Like, we just sat there and talked to then Greg Saran, who, if you look up Greg, he's got a lot of credits.
Yeah.
He's an excellent guitar player. He's really good.
I just like the fact that the recording you just played and me jinxed each other. Said Nerds in Paradise at the exact same time.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Oh my God, he's so right. That song is great.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to go home and download that right now.
Now, there was a couple other things I wanted to mention. We talk about that the place, the reason why we were there is because the place, the Catacombs, where we hung out the first time we played the cruise, wouldn't let us in. However, one of the times when we were allowed in there, I was talking to one of the security guards, and he also mentioned that he's a big Star Trek fan. So I told him about Artemis.
Oh.
And that's the official band geek game. And he goes, that's amazing. I have to see this. I said, well, you know, we could play it. I said, we were going to play it in one of our cabins, but, you know, it would be easier to show it to you if we played it here. And he goes, oh, absolutely. No problem. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. So later on, myself, Andy, because Andy always has a router with him in case Artemis happens. Andy brings a router with him in case of spontaneous Artemis. Do you understand this?
Is it like a quick draw?
It's a miniature Apple router. It's like just something you plug into the wall and you have a router. And so me, Amory, Andy, Brandy, I think Sam, and Eric. Eric had his laptop, so that was our main screen. And so basically, we set up and we played Artemis. We played a spaceship game on a real ship in a bar. It was fucking awesome.
It's hard to convey the excitement. We were pretending to be on a spaceship. On a real ship.
On an actual ship. So we played it. It was so cool. And then after that, the security guy is like, you know, you guys are cool now. Whenever you want to come in here, you can come in here. So through my trekkiness, we had a place to hang out then for the rest of the cruise.
Star Trek unites people. It's the Democratic Order of Planets. What is it called?
United Federation of Planets.
That's what it's called. I just lost my.
You really did.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Dupe from Futurama. Sorry.
So. The other thing that happened is there were a couple other fans I wanted to talk to. It would have been great to talk to Alice Cooper and Edgar Winter, but I really wanted to talk to the fans. There's this one guy, Chris Kahn, who's a huge Blue Oyster Cult.
Chris Kahn!
Yeah, we've discussed him before, and he was there on his honeymoon, actually. Yeah,
that's great.
But I didn't get to talk to him. But there's another guy who I kept running into. And this guy's name is Pat Morris, and I really wanted to talk to him for a long time, but I it just didn't happen. I saw him every day, almost every hour on the boat. Like, we were on a similar schedule. And such a nice guy. The first time I remember meeting this guy is we played at B.B. King's in Manhattan. This is years ago. And I went there with Steve Korn, my friend Steve. And Steve was my ride home. And I packed down from the gig. And Steve said, I'm going to wait around the corner. He said, when you have all your stuff out on the curb, you know, 42nd Street, B.B. King's,
sure,
fucking zoo, right? He goes, call my cell and I'll come around and get you. I'll pull right up the sidewalk, load in real quick. Now I had my amp with me, my guitar, a bag, my clothes. So what happened is, you know, B.B. King's, they send some of their crew guys out and some of our crew guys. They load all my stuff, drop me off right on the sidewalk, and there I am. And I take my cell phone out of my pocket to call Steve, and it's dead.
Oh, shit.
So I can't go back in now because all my stuff's on the sidewalk in Manhattan, right?
Right.
I don't have a cell phone. I'm fucked, right? Steve, I'm waiting. Maybe Steve will just know to come around. He didn't come around. So finally, I see a guy with a BOC t-shirt, and he comes up to me, and he goes, hey, man, nice show. I said, thank you so much. Can I have your cell phone? And he goes, really? I said, mine's dead, and I have to make a phone call really badly. And he goes, sure. And it was this guy, Pat Morris, and I took it, and I luckily memorized Steve's number.
I was going to say, that's the more impressive part of the story, that you knew his phone number.
So I said, Steve. He goes, Richie? I was like, yeah, I'm borrowing a cell phone. Mine's dead. You got to come get me. All right. So I kept sort of seeing this guy as the years went on because he's a big BOC fan. So he was on this boat. So I kept seeing him, and he was with either his wife or girlfriend. I think it might have been his girlfriend. But and if it was your girlfriend, you are married. I'm sorry for outing you, Pat. That would be bad.
I brought her on the wrong ship.
So he said, he comes up to me. He goes, look, my girlfriend doesn't want me to. She says I'm bothering you. But I just want to come up to you and say, I was like, you're not bothering me. I was like, that's the whole point of doing this. You know what I mean? That you get to say hi to the people in the bands that you like, you know? But very, very nice guy. Been to a lot of shows. And so I saw him that night. And then I saw him a couple more times. And he kept saying hi to me. And I saw, like, his girlfriend kept giving him, like, would you stop that? Would you leave him alone? So we're walking down the promenade.
He's just going to ask you to borrow things.
We do not give that guy your cell phone again. So I saw him sitting by himself at a restaurant. So I walk up to him and I was like, where's your lady friend? He goes, oh, she's a, you know, she's picking up the, she's getting something to drink, or she went to the bathroom or something, right? I said, all right. So I sat down at the table. I'm talking to him like, you know, what's good? You know, you having a good time? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the girlfriend comes back and sees us sitting there, and she's like, starts laughing. I'm like, can I help you? It was very funny. But anyway, while we were waiting for Edgar Winter, I ran into Pat, and I had this very, very brief conversation with him because I was waiting for Edgar to start.
So is it for your site?
Have you been to my podcast?
I don't think so, no.
It's called Band Geek, and okay. It's on the Riotcast Network, and that's like a network. It's like one of the biggest East Coast comedy networks. They have comedians like Jim Florentine and Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah.
And we're their first music show.
Okay.
But you know, we do like a different cover song every week. We've done BOC songs. We had Danny Miranda on, Cassim on, John Michelli, Bobby Rondinelli.
Yeah, cool. You know what I mean?
So how about this? State your names for my podcast.
Pat Morris.
Leanne Hayes.
What's your name again?
Leanne Hayes.
So, Pat, I'm here with Pat and Leanne. And would you guys say you're BOC super fans?
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen BOC 265 times over 35 years, yes.
I'm a super fan, yes.
Holy shit. I don't think I've played that many gigs with them.
I'm telling you.
Wait, so is this your first time going to this cruise?
It's the first time, and we're ready to sign up for the second one already, the next one, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Great time.
So, first of all, you're having a good time, and what was the musical highlight of the cruise for you?
Well, that's easy. It was the Blue Oyster Cult acoustic set.
Really? You like the acoustic better than the electric?
It was a real privilege to hear the songs, you know, played that way. I mean, I've seen them so many times that to hear different versions of the song was absolutely the highlight for me. We're actually waiting for Edgar Winter to start because one of my favorite guitar players over there is Doug Rappaport. So I'm actually, and they're having some technical problems, so I figured I'd come over to you and talk to you for a little bit.
That's cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the Texas tornado?
Oh, shit. All right. We'll wrap this up later. Thanks for talking to me.
I'll see you later.
So
he expressed my point
from
earlier.
So people were very excited. You know, we had people from France come on the cruise to see the acoustic show.
Wow.
So I actually have a recording of that, but I don't have permission to play it. So... now I'm going to get, I just shot myself in the foot. Now I'm going to get 100 emails. Come on, you can just give it to me, right?
What's that cease and desist letter? Where the hell did that come from?
So there's that. But if you could hear, I'm kind of sick right now.
Oh, Jesus.
We, about half of us got really sick on the boat. We got cruise plague, as we ended up calling it.
Ocean madness.
And we had a gig in Florida, West Palm Beach, 2 days after the cruise, so I stayed, and I could barely sing, and you know what's funny? I really wanted to get a Chris Kahn interview, and I didn't see him on the boat after I started doing this. I saw Chris Kahn at that gig, and I wanted to record him so bad, but I was like, Chris, and he came up to me to like shake my hand. I'm like, Chris, don't touch me, I'm sick. I was like, I'm going to get you sick, and you're on your honeymoon. I don't want you to get you sick, you know what I mean? So,
then what happened after Fort Lauderdale?
Okay. Then I came home and I was really fucking sick. Basically, you know, I had to go to the doctor. Anne-Marie got the flu. but anyway, we had like a couple days off and we had to go back out in the road to Santa. Sorry. I'm not hamming it up now, by the way. But anyway, we had a gig in Santa Fe, New Mexico, right? And there's a huge storm going on in Dallas, and the Dallas-Fort Worth airport is shut down, and it causes like a chaotic domino effect that completely fucks the airline system and all the airline routing. So as a result of that, our gig was supposed to be April Wine and then us. It was at a casino in Santa Fe. And Andy, it was covering for Jules, playing drums. So Donald actually didn't make it to the gig. So it was just...
because of the weather.
Because of the weather. Got stranded at the airport. So normally when that would happen, I would go over to guitar and Andy would play my parts. And because obviously Jules was usually there. But since Jules was on his vacation, we only had four people. So we really had to rough it. So I was Buck. But the only problem is I was sick. Sicker than I am now, I had no voice. So I had to squeak out like three songs. Eric was sick too. Eric had like the same cough I had. So he had to squeak out songs. Luckily, Cassim was able to pick up a lot of this. Like, he sang Burning for You.
Cool.
But I found this thing online. I'll play it right now. Someone actually posted a video.
I thought you can't play it for...
Well, no, this is not a video that I recorded.
Ah.
So this is on YouTube, so anybody can play this. So I'm going to use that as license to do this. Andy on drums.
You're singing the lead and playing the cheeseburger.
I'm squeaking out whatever I have left. But actually, it came out much better than I thought it was while I was playing it. Because I felt like I was going like, you know? But then listening to it, I was glad someone posted it. I'm like, oh, there were actual notes coming out of my mouth. And then if you keep watching that video, the strap falls off while I'm playing my lead. Which is, that's another fun thing to happen.
Now, I watched that video. Isn't it more distracting to have Sam come out and try and put it back
on? But you know what? He did the right thing. But you know, Philip was my tech that evening. But I told him, Phil, tape the fucking strap on next time. He's like, I know, I'm sorry. You know, but Phil's clearly so young. Every day is like a learning experience. It's like having Andy Dwyer be your guitar tech. Sorry, I'm on a Parks and Recreation kick right now.
You mean Johnny Karate? Burt Macklin, FBI.
Burt Macklin. So that's my little recap, and I'm finally starting to feel a little better. But just so we do a little musical component.
Oh, my God, I'm getting sick.
Shut up, Muff.
I don't like you.
I'm going to do a little instructional thing. I'm going to pick a couple licks that I heard, like signature riffs from these songs on the boat, and I'm going to teach them to you right now. Sound good?
Yes.
Not to you, because you have no hope of playing these. So, but if you're a guitar player...
With my mouth.
All right, let me get this set up. Hold on. Okay, so here are a few songs that I heard on the boat, and it's a cool way to incorporate the cruise with a little bit of an instructional thing. The first song I want to show you is Long Train Runnin'. This is one that a lot of guitar players probably know already. It's based on a G minor 7th bar chord. And that's a very common shape. So basically what you're doing is you're barring the 10th fret and muting the low E string. And then the two fingers you're going to use here are your middle finger on the B flat on the B string. That's the 11th fret. And then you're going to play the D on the D string, 12th fret. And this works with like a hammer-on. So you sort of move back and forth there. So, and then you're going to do a sort of mute thing for the chicka-chickas. So that's how that goes. And then when it goes to the next chord, that's actually a C minor 7th. So the way I'm playing this is you do sort of like a half bar there on the 8th fret. Then you put your 3rd finger down to the C on the 10th fret of the D string. And you're going to put your pinky on that B flat on the B string, 11th fret. And then move that to like, I guess you call that an F7th, or I would call it in this case a C minor 6th. I'm sorry, but you can't do that F, so it's... And then I go here. So that's the idea there. And then it goes, without love, E flat. And then the way I'm hearing it is D7 sus 4, then D7 back to the G minor. So, without love. So that's that song. What else do we hear on that? Oh, we got to show Free Ride, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Free Ride. This is really complicated to play, actually, and I'm probably going to screw it up. Okay. A lot of stuff going on here. First thing I'm doing for Free Ride, sliding on the A string from the 7th fret to the 9th fret. So we got that with my 3rd finger. And then I'm playing a little... like bar sort of on the 7th fret. Just two strings, the D and the G. That's the first move. Now, I'm doing this same kind of shape that sort of looks like a minor 7th chord and just moving it up two frets. All right, so I'll show you exactly what I'm doing. So it's, okay, this shape looks like this. My middle finger is on the 8th fret. My ring finger here, my 3rd finger, is on the 9th fret. and I have that little bar happening on the 7th fret, and I move that whole shape. I'm just hitting these three strings, the B string, the G string, and the D string, and I move that up a whole step or two frets. Go back down, and then play the bar again. And most of that is happening just on these three strings, the B, G, and D. And it, just like a long train running, this has those shapes and the chicka chickas. So,
very popular southern rock thing.
Chicka chicka. Then the next part is same starting move. So, that same chord we did before, bar, and then an A chord. You can do it with a bar if you want, or you can do this little cheating A chord that I like to do, which looks like an F chord, but it's an A chord. It's So that is just third finger on the 7th fret of the D string, middle finger on the 6th fret of the G string, and first finger on the 5th fret of the B string. So one more time. And that cool thing. I won't go into that. Okay, so that's
the Jackson 5.
That's Michael Jackson playing on that. No, that's a Tito. Tito Jackson played on that. Fact. Okay, so let's do one more. How about, let's do an Alice Cooper tune.
Sure.
How about School's Out? Okay. I'm not sure how they do this one. I'm guessing they're playing it in the key of E, tuned down, because it sounds E flat, but guitar players don't play an E flat. Because if it was E flat, it sounds like this. But
which sounds very southern. Everything's all southern rock.
You're into southern rock today? Okay, so
yes.
But I'm guessing they're just playing it in E and tuning their guitars down a half step. So that's the case. It's the way I'm playing is with my thumb, because I don't know.
You're cheating.
Yeah, you're cheating. Yeah. Some thumb on the 12th fret there, E string. And then I'm just playing the D and G string on the 14th fret. Then, you know, after doing the thumb again twice, I go to the 12th fret, those two strings. I'm just alternating. Then we have this little lick, which is a pull-off. And that's the main lick for that. And then I think it goes to C. D, E flat. G. B flat, C. F, G. So that's School's Out for summer. There's a few other things that happen in there, but that's the main riff. Impress your friends with these easy classic rock riffs.
You know, people who are actually out of school for summer would learn how to not cheat and do it the right way. Yeah, that's
it's
right.
It's not cheating. Look, it's, no, you can play it like... That's like if you're like, you know, a fancy technical guitar player, but...
Oh.
If Eddie Van Halen plays this song, he's playing it with his thumb. If Jimi Hendrix were to play this, he'd play it with his thumb, because his thumb was very big. There you go.
Is that a fact?
Sure. And that's all she wrote, folks. Thanks for listening to Band Geek. Hope you enjoyed this, whatever this was.
Thank you, Richie. I felt like I was there. Private joke, something on the cruise, private joke.
What private joke?
I'm just busting your balls.
I don't like you.